Lord, I pray that it wouldn't just be words that we're singing about how great is our God, but in our core, we'd believe it, we'd feel it, we'd experience it, we'd want to make it known. Lord, that in our hearts and in our minds that there would be nothing that is greater than you and our relationship with you. And Lord, I recognize all around us things pull at us and our affections get strewn across multiple things. But oh Lord, would you lovingly, graciously, would you dig us deeper into our relationship with you that we really would be able to say with our heart and our being and our essence, God, you are great. How great are you, God, for your salvation and for your provisions and for your just the way that you watch over us and take care of us. Oh, Lord, in so many ways that we could give thanks and celebrate how great you are. And Lord, as we live that way, would the world around us, would they see in us a difference? Not a judgmental, arrogant, haughty attitude about them, but Lord, that they would just see a people that is been transformed to people that love a Savior who died for them. And Lord, that our hearts and our actions truly would display how great our God is. So even now, as we turn our attention to your word, speak, O Lord, may your people hear and would we walk in obedience. We pray these things through Jesus. Amen. So we're coming kind of to the end of our short little series on what is we believe as a church. So it's kind of our spiritual DNA. Next week is Father's Day, if you've not noticed on the calendar. So y'all be prepared to celebrate for your dads and how much you love them next Sunday. And also next Sunday, there'll be all kind of VBS stuff up here. So we're transitioning into Vacation Bible School stuff. But today we're talking about an issue of baptism. And the reason we're picking this issue, we've talked a little bit about the Lord's Supper as we've taken the Lord's Supper, but we recognize that many people come from different backgrounds. And the reality is we are called Florida Gardens Baptist Church. What does it mean to be Southern Baptist? What is it we really believe and understand about this issue of baptism? And so this morning our desire is to walk through some basic questions, basic themes, ideas regarding what it is we believe the Bible teaches about baptism. So with that in mind, I'm going to ask you to look over at Romans chapter 6. I know, Romans, right? We did this a while ago. When we walked through this part of Romans, we actually looked at more putting off of sin. This morning, what we're looking at in this context is the issue of baptism itself. So Romans chapter 6. I'm going to read verses 1 through 11. Paul shares these words. What then shall we say? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we had been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin, once for all. But the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. All right, if you have your little bulletin, you may want to take some notes as we use this passage and then kind of expand a little bit. But the first theme for us this morning is the meaning of baptism. What is it that we believe? What does it mean to us? And the essence is this: it is our union with Christ. The theological essence. Did you get what he was saying there in Romans chapter 6? That we have died with him, knowing that when we've been baptized, verse 3, into Christ, we were baptized into his death. And when he was raised, we were in essence connected to him in his resurrection. So baptism has a theological meaning. It is the understanding that we as individuals have died to the old way of life. That when Christ died on the cross, he in essence was bearing our sin, and so we are saying, we too, in our baptism, the old Travis, the old whoever you are, has died. I'm no longer going to live that way. And that's what Paul's trying to explain in the rest of that passage about, if you've died to sin, why do you continue to live in it, right? So what we're saying is, when Christ died, it was like he took our sins to the cross, and as he's being buried, we too are being buried. And then he says, as Christ is being raised, we also are being raised with him. So baptism, for us, serves as a visible connection to Christ, to his death, to his resurrection. That's why we say it all the time, and it's there at the bottom. Buried with him in his death, raised to walk in the newness of life. When we put somebody underwater, what we are saying is, that old person dead. There's a visible image we'll get to there, but dead. And when they're coming up out of the water, it's like Christ coming up from the grave. We're united with him. There's this union with him, and we're walking together in this newness of life. It's saying we're part of him. We're part of his kingdom. We're part of this global gospel that's advancing. It's our, if you want to say it in some essence, it's like our membership initiation, right? It's like we've been saved, and now the way that we're expressing that we're part of this, the way that we're expressing that we've been saved, is that we're following through with believers' baptism. Now listen, we believe that baptism does not save. Baptism is not salvific. It is a visible display, a demonstration of the salvation that has already occurred in your life. Right? What you're saying is, when you're being baptized, I have trusted in Christ. He has paid my debt. I believe that his death paid my sins, and I believe his resurrection gives hope for my resurrection, and I want other people to know this. It's not as if, okay, I'm not saved, so let me go up and be baptized to be saved. Let me just give you some passages to think about. When you read the scriptures, you have passages like this. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever would be baptized should not perish but have everlasting life. No, right? I mean, we know. What does it say? Whoever does what? Believe. Salvation is by grace through faith in Christ. Not a work. Not a work of baptism. Right? So, we believe and are saved. Acts 16:31. After this earthquake in Paul, he's in prison, right? And the prisoner comes and he says, you know, you didn't run off. He says, and he's amazed that Paul, who he is, and that they've been singing hymns. And he says, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And Paul says in Acts 16:31, believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved. There's no connection at all to baptism there. Okay? You see it? Romans 10, 9 and 10. For if we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, and what? Believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Multiple passages like that all throughout Scripture, that baptism is connected to salvation, like in a passage like 1 Peter chapter 4. Baptism is closely associated with salvation. It's something that a saved person should do, but baptism is not something that saves you. For us, as Baptists, it is something that we do expressing that we have been unified, that we have this union with Christ. Make sense? All right. Second, what's our motive then for baptism? Well, it's obedience to Christ. Obedience to Christ. Well, what does that mean? Well, look over at Matthew chapter 3 for a moment. Matthew chapter 3, Jesus is about to begin this ministry that he engages in for 3 years before he's crucified. And there's this individual called John the Baptist, right? Now, he's not the first Baptist preacher, okay? I mean, he's not the pastor of First Baptist Jerusalem that we get all of our roots from, kind of like a pope in a Catholic church, no. But he was following through with what we're doing as well, right? This visible testimony that I'm not living the way I used to live. What was he telling people out there in the wilderness? You've come out to me, repent, and be baptized as a sign that you're no longer living this way. See, he didn't know at this point exactly how Jesus figured into the picture, but now we do. Jesus is the death and resurrection. That's what we're being baptized in. But John is out there telling people to be baptized. Verse 2, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand, right? And so you look down, and like verse 13, it says, then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to John to be baptized by him. Now John would have prevented him saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? But Jesus answered him, let it be so now, for this is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. So John consented, and when Jesus was baptized, he immediately went up from the water. Behold, the heavens were opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming and resting on him. Behold, the voice from heaven said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Now notice in the text, Jesus, there's so many theological things that people get confused on at this point. Jesus was not just a man who at this point, because of his baptism, suddenly had all of his sins erased and at this point became God. There's theologies out there. Like he was just like a regular Joe, like me and you. And then at this point in his life, when the Spirit comes upon him, that's when God comes in Jesus. That's not true. That's not what we believe, right? He's always been God, second person of the Trinity. We also do not agree with the fact that Jesus was baptized as a remission of his sins. Jesus hadn't been sinning and doing a bunch of bad things as a teenager, and he's like, oh, now it's time for me to get serious because I'm going into ministry. I'm going to be baptized. No, you notice when he comes out to John to be baptized, John says, there's no reason to baptize you. You've not done anything wrong. And Jesus' response is, in the humble way that Jesus so often spoke, I know this, but what I'm doing is to fulfill all righteousness. It's setting the example. It's giving a picture of what the church is going to do throughout for all of those who are walking in obedience to the Father, right? I'm going to do this as the first, because Jesus was the first in so many ways. The new Adam, as Romans says. And so he thus is baptized. He comes up out of the water. And then later on, in Matthew's gospel, at the end, as Jesus is going back up into heaven, he says what? All authority on heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go, make disciples, doing what? Baptizing them. I've set the example, and now the first step of a disciple's life should be to follow in believers' baptism. That there's this union, that they're obeying God's commands, that they're saying that I'm connected to Jesus. So we're called to baptism as an act of obedience to Jesus. Jesus says all believers should be baptized. So I want you to just process this. To not be baptized is to disobey Christ. Right? And we hear, I'm afraid of water, I don't want to do things in front of people, we hear all kinds of excuses, but at the end of the day, what Jesus has said is, if you're a believer in Christ, if you're a follower of me, walk in obedience. It's to a third question. Our mode of baptism. We as Southern Baptists affirm that baptism is by immersion. And not getting too literal or too fancy, you go to the Greek New Testament, as you know George could attest to, or somebody like that. The most common, the most forthright, the most literal understanding that is given for that is immersion, or to immerse. As you read on, what you start to see is that this word is used as a religious ceremony signifying a purification, some type of initiation based on repentance. Somebody repents, they would be baptized under water. There's an early book called the Didache. It's what some of the early believers were like kind of following along with. And here's what it says regarding baptism: that there's many different versions of baptism were practiced in the early church, but with evident preference given to immersion. So what we see is all throughout really the history of the church, the mode of baptism has been an immersion, a full immersion. And it makes sense, doesn't it? Because, like we said in the beginning, that is a beautiful picture of the resurrection story. Jesus was buried, raised. We are buried and raised. Do you see, God's a visual God. I mean, we've probably said this before, but it still amazes me. God could have made everything black and white and we wouldn't have known any different. But he gives color. God's a creative God. And all throughout the Bible, you see him using stories and illustrations and examples and types. So the baptism of Jesus, the baptism that he gives to us, is a visible display. Every time somebody is baptized, it proclaims Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. That's what we believe. So let me ask this, when should a person be baptized? Well, lots of questions revolve around this. Some say immediately, when a person comes to faith, it's immediately, and you think about Philip and the Ethiopian, and they're on the road, and he comes to understand Isaiah 53, and he immediately stops the little chariot, and he's baptized there. Others say, well, it's a different time now, and you should wait to make sure that the person is genuinely converted. All right? I don't know. There's nothing in Scripture that necessarily says you should be baptized. And it's probably wise to encourage people, if they want to be baptized, to follow through immediately. But the danger is many people have been baptized wrong, with the wrong understanding of what baptism is. And they think they're saved because they're baptized, and they're not saved. Right? And so some would say, like in a place like, let's say, Afghanistan, if you're a Muslim and you come to faith in Christ and you know that that means you likely may die and you've counted the cost and you're ready to be baptized, you should be baptized immediately. But some would say in a place like Alabama, where everybody says they're Christian and somebody comes up and says, I want to be baptized because I'm a Christian, maybe you watch a little bit to see if it's genuine in their life. If they really have been changed, if they really understand, or if it was that somebody said it at VBS or somebody in church said, got baptized, and now they want to be baptized because it looked fun. See the difference there? So there's not a legitimate legal time, but what you really try to do is assess, does the person truly understand that baptism doesn't save, but it should be done only for those who have trusted in Christ? Well, what about where should a person be baptized? Can you be baptized at the beach? Can you be baptized in a pool? Can you be baptized in a river? Sure. Can you be baptized here? Sure. All right. There's no specific or strict place of it has to be done in a church building, right? I mean, you see, Jesus was baptized not at the temple, but where? In the Jordan. And I know lots of people in South Florida, they like to go out to the beach. The issue is not necessarily the type of water, but is it an act of worship? Do you understand that when you're being baptized, it's a worship event? You're proclaiming, Christ is my Savior. He died for me. I'm living for him. right? It's a worship event, just like tithing, just like praying, just like listening to messages, just like singing. You are worshiping and saying, how great is my God who saved me. It also should be done publicly. So you can't just say, well, I'm going to be baptized when nobody sees. There is a public essence of it, that you're giving testimony of a change in your life. So there should be others around that can give testimony that, yes, I saw that Travis was baptized. Oh, it was amazing, and it was a good thing. So can you be baptized at a pool? Yes. If your brother dunks you under the water, does that mean you're baptized? No, right? There's a difference there. But this church, early on, that's where we baptized, in a pool, somebody's house down the road. The important aspect is it's public testimony as an act of worship. And so we immerse individuals giving the act of worship in the picture of Christ's death and resurrection. So let me try to address a couple of questions and we'll be done. Where we differ from other godly believers in Christ. All right. So we, as Baptists, espouse immersion. There are other believers, godly individuals, who will be in heaven who do not immerse. So why is it that we do what we do? Let me just try to give a very brief summation. There are some denominations that see baptism as the New Testament form of Old Testament circumcision. In the Old Testament, individuals that were part of the community that were males were circumcised as the sign that they were part of the community. And therefore, in the New Testament, baptism acts like that sign. So instead of being circumcised, you just baptize, sprinkle, whatever it is. So you know, maybe some of you come from those backgrounds where infants are baptized, sprinkled. In essence, what they're saying is that this child is part of the believing community. So why is it then that we don't baptize individuals at that age? Because we believe that baptism is an individual's choice. See, when you're a child, that sprinkling, that baptism, and usually it's sprinkling because you're not putting kids underwater, that sprinkling is not your choice. It's not your public testimony. It's not your public confession of faith. It's your parents or somebody else's. It's a tradition. We believe that baptism is something that an individual says, does, expresses in response to what's happened in their life. You see the difference there? So what we're saying is that I have followed Christ. I'm dying to self. Therefore, I will be baptized. It is true that Christian homes should commit to raise children, to teach them in the Scriptures, should instruct them in the Lord. And we as Baptists, we affirm that by doing what we call baby dedications, right? We bring families up, and are you going to raise your family in the fear and the admonition of the Lord and pray and instruct and be involved in a church and all that stuff? We kind of follow the model of like Hannah with Samuel. Lord, this child is from you, and we give it unto you as you see fit. Use my family for your glory. But what we believe about baptism is an individual act by believers. So again, it's not something that the whole family does. It's an individual who's saying, I have trusted in Christ and I should be baptized. See the difference there? Yeah? No? Yeah? So that's why we baptize individuals upon their personal confession of faith. Because that's what it seems like in Scripture. A person would believe and they would be baptized. Right? So let me answer a couple other questions then. I've trusted in Jesus, but I've never been baptized. So what should I do? Well, if you are a believer here today and you in your heart of hearts says, I know that I've trusted in Jesus as my Savior. I know that His death has paid my sin. I know that when I die, I'll go to be with Him. But I've never followed through in believer's baptism. What should I do? You should be baptized. You should give a public testimony, public display of your faith in Christ. Well, some of you will say, well, I thought I did that. I walked an aisle. That was public. That's not what the Scripture tells us. The Scripture tells us that the symbol of our union with Christ is baptism. So if you've never been baptized, it's a great opportunity to follow through, to obey God in His Word. Another potential question. I was, and I put it in quotes, I was baptized as an infant or a young person. What should I do? Okay, so you were in a Presbyterian or a Methodist church or something like that, and they baptized you, and I mean that with much grace, but we're not using baptism in the same term, right? You feel like your family had you baptized when you were an infant. What should I do? And we run into this in this church. People will come and say, yeah, I want to join your church. I love you. I want to be a part of this. I say, well, the only requirements we have for membership here are you have to be a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you've had to experience believer's baptism. Oh, I was baptized when I was an infant. That's not believer's baptism. Believer's baptism is a personal expression of your faith in Christ. So if you were sprinkled as a child, as an infant, even if you were immersed as an infant, that's not your personal profession of faith in Christ. So we would encourage you to be baptized and not rebaptized, because we think baptism is something that a believer does. See the difference there? And some of you are like, well, I don't want to do that. That's fine. You can come to our church and you can worship with us and you can celebrate. But for us, we're Baptists. We're Baptists. Don't fault us for what we believe. And it's not a salvific issue. It's not going to keep somebody out of heaven. I think the guy that was on the cross with Jesus was never baptized, and he made it. But as much as possible, we should follow in obedience. And we feel like the greatest example of obedience is believer's baptism by immersion. So the last one. I was baptized when I was younger, but I turned away from God for a while. What should I do? You know this one, right? Like, I was baptized when I was a kid. It was immersion. It was even in a Baptist church, right? But then when I got to be a teenager, I kind of got into the stuff, and I did things, and I fall away. And, you know, in my 20s, I was kind of like partying and enjoying life. And in my 30s, I got married and started having kids. And, you know, I've started coming back to church. And so, but I'm fine, Pastor, because I was baptized when I was a kid. Or am I? Should I be baptized again? Was it real? Should I be rebaptized? Right? What do you think? Well, we like to use the word rededicate. What the Bible says is repent. And how I try to address this with individuals, and it's happened often. I mean, think of somebody like Dwight up in Kentucky, a great guy. I just say this. Do you, the best that you understand, do you believe that when you were baptized, you truly understood what baptism was? That you truly understood what salvation was? Or was it that somebody you walked an aisle and your friend came up and walked an aisle and so they told you the next thing to do was be baptized? Or was that the vacation Bible school and everybody was really excited and you got baptized, but it was never really genuine? You got to know in your heart. If you say you came to faith in Christ, but you never read the Word, you didn't really go to church, you never really prayed, it was an outward act. It really wasn't anything to do with the connection and union with Christ. Make sense? But if there was a time in your life when you said, I was baptized and I was reading the Word and I was praying and I was involved in church, but then some things happened and I got involved or I fell away and now I've come back, well, you may say, well, that was probably legitimate in your life and you just fell away from the Lord for a while. But if there was never really ever a season in your life after that baptism where you were really following faithfully the Lord, I would probably say it probably wasn't a baptism. And look, if in your heart of hearts you say, you know what, it probably was a baptism when I was a little person, but man, I really lived a really bad life and I've done a lot of bad things and I want to publicly display now that I'm following Christ, we probably would do it. I mean, we'd probably just say, look, that's fine because you're unsure of your earlier baptism, right? But what I'm getting at there is, for some of you, it's not that you need to be baptized or, as you want to say, rebaptized. It's just that you need to recognize God was gracious to you in your disobedience. See, there's a difference there. So in this one, it's the most tricky. For me, it's why when young kids come and say, I want to be baptized, we really try to just, we want them to be faithful, but we also want to make sure they truly understand what they're doing. And it's not pressure from mom and dad. It's not pressure from Sunday school teachers. It's not pressure. We just want to make sure they clearly understand, no, I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. Right? I know it's 11 o'clock hymn song, but you got it, right? I want to make sure they know it as best that they can know it at a 7 or 8 year old level, not expecting Grudem's systematic theology, but I want them to say, I was a sinner, I've trusted in Jesus, I want to live for him. That sort of thing. And if that's not what they're understanding, then we're saying, look, they're excited you want to be baptized, and that's a glorious thing. And let's just continue to allow, you know, let Jesus, you know, continue to work in your life, right? I mean, we'll say things like that because, listen, church, if they're truly saved, they're not going to be unsaved if we don't get baptized immediately. See, some parents think, oh my gosh, if we don't baptize them right now and they say they're saved, well, then then 5 years from down the road, they're not going to be in Christ. Well, 5 years down the road, they're not living for Jesus, then we shouldn't be baptizing now because it's not legitimate, it's not real, it's not Holy Spirit regeneration in their life. You get it? Baptism doesn't save your child. Christ saved your child. Baptism is an outward act that Christ has saved me. But if indeed your child shows regeneration, shows repentance, shows love for Jesus, then yes, let us baptize and rejoice in the work of God in their life. We're Baptists. And we're proud of it. We put it in our name. We want people to know. Baptism is a significant picture of what Christ has done for us. And if you're here today and you've never trusted in Christ, we would say repent and believe in him. If you're here today and you have trusted in Christ but you've never been baptized, we would say, hey, look, on that little form right there, you can write and say, hey, pastor, I've never been baptized and I want to know more, or I want to follow through with baptism. Hey, we'll set it up. Maybe some of you say, hey, I'm that number three that I was baptized but I'm not really sure. Can you talk with me? Let's get together. We'll talk. But look, for all of us, let us walk in faithful obedience to Christ. And let us give visible, public, worshipful display that we've been buried with him in death. And the life we're living now, this resurrection life that we have now, is because of Jesus. Let's pray. Father, I'm thankful that you've given us this visible sign of your Holy Spirit's work in our life. And Lord, for many of us, we have been baptized. And Lord, I pray that even today it'd be a reminder of what our baptism signified and the joy. And for many of us, we can think back and rejoice and give thanks, Lord, to the testimony that we gave. But Father, for others, maybe they've never really followed through with believer's baptism. Maybe they've put it off for whatever reason. Lord, would your word today instruct and guide? Maybe, Father, some have believed they've been saved because of baptism. Lord, would you show repentance and conviction on that false understanding of what baptism is? And would they today, even in this moment, trust specifically in Christ? Father, thank you. Thank you for Jesus, the one who bore our sin, who died for us. And because of his death and resurrection, there's a unity, a union that we have with him. Because he died, we died. Because he was raised, we too have been raised and will be raised. And it's in his name that we pray. Amen. So this morning as we sing a song of response,